Peace. How's it going? This is Martin Zender, up against the wall once again for you. I do it for you. And I do it for myself too. As you know, my teaching, I apply it to myself as well as to you. Most people think that this Bible is a recipe book. That's right. People approach this as a recipe book for good behavior. Here's what you need to do to get to heaven. It's all written in this book. That is not true. I'll take the title of the book of Revelation as an example. It's not called Revelation, it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's the proper title of the book, commonly referred to as Revelation. This book, the Bible, that principle applies to the whole thing. This is a revelation of God and Christ. Yes, this is a completely radical way to look at the scriptures. This is not a recipe book. It's not a guidebook. This isn't a self-help manual, a thick self-help manual. No, this is God telling us about himself. And when you look at the Bible in that light, it's a whole new book. It's phenomenal. Let's go to Romans. Romans is the Magna Carta of our faith. Let's look at, chapter 1, verse 1. Well, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, severed for the evangel of God, which he promises before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. Wow, right there. Sever for the evangel of God. We'll get rid of the parenthetical insertion there, and let's just go from evangel of God concerning his Son. The evangel concerns his Son. It does not primarily concern you. But when anyone goes to this book thinking that it concerns them, thinking that this is their handbook for getting to heaven, they will miss the biggest thing you could possibly miss, which is a revelation of God and Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? How could that verse be missed? Sewing together here, Romans 1:1 with Romans 1:3. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, severed for the evangel of God concerning his Son. The book of Romans concerns his Son. Wow. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, we read this. As children of light, be walking, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, testing what is well-pleasing to the Lord. Why is this verse phenomenal, you ask? Because we are to walk as children of light. We all want to walk worthily of this calling, but how do we do that? We seek the light. We seek revelation. We seek wisdom. We seek to know God in Christ. That is our primary act. And the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the light is goodness. You want to be good? Then study the light. Well, that seems to be counterintuitive, doesn't it? In fact, the religions we were raised in told us just the opposite. They told us that if we were good people, then God would give us light. If we performed for him, then he would reveal his inner heart to us. But that's not how it is at all. It's the opposite, as you would expect. The first thing God does is reveal his inner heart to us. He doesn't care about us. I mean, of course he cares about us, but he's not primarily concerned with what we're doing, because he knows that these people aren't going to be good, or they're not going to want to be good unless they know who I am. It's God speaking. So God reveals himself and he says, don't worry about your behavior right now. that will come naturally because the fruit of the light is goodness. Goodness comes on the heels of light. Light does not come on the heels of goodness. It's a byproduct. Your walk, your goodness is a byproduct of the light. And we see that in nature, don't we? The tree with the most light produces the most fruit. It grows faster. Exposed to the light, exposed to the light. Mary and Martha, great example. There's Martha doing, hurrying around the kitchen. And Mary appears to be doing nothing. She's sitting at the Lord's feet, and yet she's soaking in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. He's unveiling himself. And Mary's sitting there, soaking it up like a rhododendron soaks up the sun. And of course, Martha complains, "Why don't you tell my sister to get over here and help me?" And Jesus said, "I wasn't going to say anything, but since you brought it up, Mary is doing the better thing." She was getting light, and the fruit will follow. This was a whole lesson of law that has never been learned by so many. The lesson of law is, of course, do this and I will bless you. That was the whole premise of the law. Do this, it the opposite of what we just read in Ephesians 5. God said, do this and I will bless you. Don't do this and I won't bless you. And of course, the law was a lesson. The law was supposed to teach humanity that by works of law, no flesh at all can be justified. It's supposed to, the law, after you try it for a day or two, you don't even have to try it because you're not under it. We of the nations, the law never came to us. But Israel, supposed to try it and then throw up their hands in frustration. Only for them, it was after a few hundred years, and look for a Messiah who would then miraculously put the law upon their hearts. That was the lesson to be learned. But Paul, for us, skips the law because the law didn't come to us. He goes right to grace and he says, this gospel concerns not you, doesn't concern you, concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul spends the first 11 chapters of Romans telling you what God has done, especially chapters 3-8, tells us what God has done for us. And we're sitting agape, astounded at the grace that was shown, not to goody two-shoeses, but to sinners. God is justifying the irreverent, Romans 4:5. He saved us while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8. And when we learn that, that's called light. That's called revelation. When we learn it, without even trying, this is the great thing. This is the great thing. I wish that dog would be quiet. This always happens outside. Without even trying, we will produce fruit. But we produce fruit, ironically, and this is counterintuitive, not by trying to produce fruit. It just happens. Because it's the fruit of the light. It says it right here, is goodness and righteousness. The fruit of the light. But you gotta have the light first. And Christianity has it all backwards, as you would expect. As you would expect. They think this is a recipe book for good behavior. And they go right to those verses which say, do this, be this way. They love that stuff. But what they miss is the light. So they're trying to produce fruit without light. They have no revelation of God. They don't know God. They don't know Christ. And they're trying to produce fruit from their own effort, and they're straining to produce it. Just go out and bask in the light. Find out about Christ. Be Mary's. Sit at his feet and learn, and fruit will be produced. Have you ever seen any of the Three Stooges? Larry, Curly, and Moe. I love those guys. Whenever I'm depressed, I watch Three Stooges. It never fails. They always rescue me from doom and destruction. And there's this one bit that always happens with the Stooges. Somebody will come in a room and they'll say, gentlemen, they're addressing the Three Stooges, gentlemen. And the Three Stooges will always look behind them like, who's he talking to? What? Gentlemen. What? Who's he talking to? That's what's going to happen to us at the dais of Christ when we are there to receive our awards. Jesus is going to say, for meritorious service, I call up so-and-so. And you'll come up there and God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You'll be like, who? You didn't realize all these great works you were doing because your emphasis wasn't on the works. You don't have a logbook or a diary listing all of your accomplishments. But they happened, and they happened so naturally that you were not even aware of them. I think of Matthew 25, when Jesus is judging the nations. Jesus returns, all the nations come before him. And in verse 34 of Matthew 25, it says, then shall the king be declaring to those at his right, hither, blessed of my Father, enjoy the allotment of the kingdom made ready for you from the disruption of the world. Now I got a train and a dog. For I hunger, and you give me to eat. I thirst, and you give me to drink. A stranger was I. You took me in. Naked, you clothed me. Infirm am I, and you visit me. In jail was I, and you come to me. Here it is. Watch this. Verse 37. Then will the just be answering him, saying, Lord, when did we perceive you hungering and nourish you, or thirsting and we gave you drink? Now, when did we perceive you a stranger and took you in, or naked and we clothed you? When did we see you in jail and visit you? This is just like the Three Stooges routine. Yes, hither, blessed, you did this, you did that. And people are going, who? Me? When? Well, in that you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. But good works follow good doctrine. That's another way to say it. I like that. Good works follow good doctrine. The teaching, the doctrine, I don't necessarily like that word doctrine, but it's okay, must precede the fruit. And when it does, it becomes a beautiful, effortless thing. It's so effortless that you don't even realize how kind you're being to people, how generous you're being to people, how patient, how understanding. Because we are to show grace to one another as God has shown grace to us. And if we don't realize that God has shown grace to us, if we think our salvation is based on good behavior, then we're going to expect that from others. You become as hard, as flinty, as judgmental as your God is. Your vision of God, your apprehension of God determines how you live. Because why in the world would you have to be greater than your God? Why should you be more well-behaved than your God? If your God is a raving lunatic who will burn most of his creation in hell for eternity because they just don't love me back, then why should you love anybody? Honestly, if your God is just frustrated at all the evil in the world, and he's running around trying to patch up his universe that somehow got away from him, then why should you be any more wise than that, than him? See, we have to get our God understood before anything good can happen, because I'm afraid of this for Christians, that none of their works will really amount to much because they were founded on fear. Fear that if I don't do these, God's, I'm not going to get to heaven. Founded on compulsion. Not natural at all. Unnatural. They have workbooks that set out for them behavioral programs. In the meantime, they have no idea who God is. They think God will eternally torment people. They think that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was not enough to save humanity. They have these wacko ideas about God, but look at our behavior, look at our behavior. It's not founded on the light. It has not come from the natural light of God. It has come from a self-improvement program. The Holy Scriptures are not a self-improvement program. They are a revelation of the Son of God.